Mondays and Fridays, we get with Brother Johnny and Mike Ditka, and we talk about everything there is to talk about because we try and come up with solutions, answers, comments, commentary. We hope you enjoy our segments Monday and Friday, 7:30 to 8, with my brother John, who's a member of the National Academy of Sciences, adjunct professor, University of Illinois. Call him professor. And Mike Ditka, of course, the icon, all-around great guy, Hall of Famer, unbelievable human being. Mike, how are you from Chicago? How you doing?
I'm doing great, guys.
Johnny gave away the bride on the Natchez in New Orleans.
Yeah, I heard that. That was beautiful, huh?
Oh, it was great, Mike. We had a great time. We had a super son-in-law. You know, that's always a big deal.
This is Barrett Schreiner. His parents, I think, listening from Gallatin, Tennessee this morning. Jim and beautiful Brad, his mom and Jim's wife. Great people, great family. And when you want to bring two families together, you sure want them to all like each other. Boy, that seems apparent, doesn't it?
Well, we had a wonderful time. And, that's my baby girl, and she was great. So
you walked her down the aisle. How did you feel?
Well, I was fine. I mean, she had instructed me in what to do. And so we just did that. So, Steve, it's just a fun time to be around and with your family and friends and all the people that you've known, from even ones that weren't there supporting you.
But Mike, what we didn't know is exactly who was who on the boat. You should have seen all the people. There's 300 or 400 people. I didn't know who was who. Were you with the bride or the groom?
Well, Steve, most of them I think we knew, but I don't know. you know, Mike, they've got that Natchez, and of course, if it's a wedding, if you just walk and say, yeah, I'm with the wedding, you're on. If you know to say that, you don't need a ticket.
And Johnny had an open bar, Mike, so there might have been a few stragglers that jumped on the Natchez in New Orleans.
Yeah, well, Johnny's got a lot of friends. There'll be a lot of people there.
It was a great wedding. Job well done. All right, Miami and Dallas basketball season is over, and the Dallas Mavericks and Dirk Nowitzki, 13 years, one team. What a KG veteran. Was 1 out of 12 for a while, but fourth quarter came, Dirk Nowitzki stepped up.
Well, I'm not a big NBA fan, but I thought it was interesting, and I thought what Dallas pulled off and Coach Carlisle and those players pulled off was pretty interesting. They started the Garden. I didn't even know they had, and then that Terry is an unbelievable shooter. So what they did was phenomenal. To beat a team with the talent of the Miami Heat, it's phenomenal, and they beat them at home. I mean, and they, you know, the runs were crazy. They get a 12-0 run, and another team get a 12-0 run, and back and forth. But, you know, they hung in, and like you said, when it came down to crunch time, the Mavericks were a better team in the fourth quarter than the Heat were.
Well, I'll tell you, you could see it coming on the game, I think it was Thursday, that the Dallas Mavericks looked like they wanted to win this thing and were the champions. The other team looked like they were playing hard at times. And then LeBron James, you know, he just got to get a little bit different attitude or something. But he did not play, I don't think, like he maybe could have, and didn't get his team around him like Nowitzki. And it's interesting. I think he's got a little bit of a self-centered perspective there, Steve, maybe,
yeah,
LeBron.
Yeah, and Mike, I think LeBron James, as good of a talent as he is, could have hurt himself after the game when, you know, and I realize there's a lot of hits on LeBron, and there will be detractors, and the big guys always have that. But for him to say, my worst day is better than your best day, and I'll still live the life I'm living, and all these other things, because he's bitter about some of the criticism, that wasn't a good thing for a guy to say.
Well, you know, I think wisdom comes with age. I mean, he'll learn to say the right things. You know, it's something that Michael Jordan wouldn't have said, or it's something that a lot of guys wouldn't have said. But, you know, if he felt the need to say it, fine. I mean, I think, you know, first of all, you know, first we all, and I'm as guilty of it as anybody when I coached. You know, you ought not to be able to, they ought to keep your mouth shut for about 4 hours after the game.
Yeah.
Keep your mouth shut, and then you'll be okay. After that, you think about it, you calm down, you're all right. But, you know, I think you're lashing out a little bit, you know. And, sure, you got to be a little bit bitter. I mean, they had great expectations. They thought they were going to win it, you know, and it didn't happen. But, you know, it doesn't make any sense to say that to the fans because, it doesn't work that way.
Well, and the fans had nothing to do with them not winning either.
Yeah,
I think that LeBron has to realize that it's – yeah, he likes to play basketball. He wants to win. But it's, as you know, it's show business. It's politics. It's just business. And that all goes against what you want. I don't know, Mike. I don't remember you lashing out at the fans. I think you had some pretty colorful interviews, but I think LeBron just has to change his attitude a little bit. He's going to have to play a little bit more for
him. When you make people bigger than life, and which has happened, you make people bigger than life, and they've made this thing bigger than life, and they bring the three in there, and it's triumphant. You know, they're going to be this thing, that dynasty that goes on for years. They're going to win championships. And then the first year, with all the expectations, they don't win it. Now, you don't tell me now that that doesn't create a tremendous amount of doubt, because they got good play out of the fringe players. They got some good play out of Chalmers and those guys. So, I mean, what do they really need? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was LeBron. Where I saw the lack of what I expected, and I'm not a basketball expert, but I like to sound like I think I am and act like it. But I thought Wade did his job. I thought Bosch played very well. All the support. It was LeBron James that you were looking for, and he did a lot of penetration and kick back out where I thought he could have finished with his talent. And he did a lot of periods where he would go through, I'm just going to pass now. And maybe let Wade, but they just haven't figured it out, and it's not anybody's fault, but they can work on it.
Maybe he cannot take over a game. I tell you, Nowitzki, I mean, you know, that was pretty frustrating for him in the beginning. I mean, it looked like there was a lid on the basket. Everything kept going in and out, in and out, in and out. But, you know, when it came down to, you know, crunch time, he was right there again, and he was still taking the shot. He had enough confidence to do that.
I was watching with Matthew, and when the Dallas Mavericks went in the locker room at halftime winning, and Nowitzki was one for 12, I was thinking, I think Mavericks just won their first championship, because that's not going to happen the second half.
Yeah.
So there you go. But it was fun to watch. It was great. It was an interesting series. It was a very well-played series. Well, could have gone either way.
Best line of the series for me is when Mike, we were watching it last night, and my mom saw it on, and she said, "Is this basketball season?"
June 12th.
That's perfect. It is, and it will be in another month, too.
Yeah, that's right. All right, Mike Ditka, Brother Johnny here, 93.5, 95.3, Connect FM. We're not hearing a thing about the NFL here in the heartland. It's June 13. It doesn't seem, I mean, hopefully the light switch is clicked on and somebody gets it figured out. But, I mean, the fan's going to be mighty disappointed if come late August, early September, they're not having a fantasy draft and the season isn't going to go off as planned. What a shame if that happens.
Well, I don't think that, and you're right about that exactly, but, you know, it's something to occupy the fans. I mean, but the economy is going to take such a hit if they don't get this thing back on track. My understanding now, and I don't know a lot about a lot because they don't call me and tell me, but there is some conversation going on right now. But this stuff about an 8-game season, if they do something like that, they're going to lose this whole deal. I'm telling you, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, I understand that you got to be, taking a hard line, whether you're the union or whether you're the owners, you take a hard line. But there's got to come a point, if there's going to be an agreement, there's got to be a little give and take on both sides. And they've got to be willing to do this to get this thing back on. This is too big. This is too big not only for the athletes and coaches, but it's too big for the country. I mean, this is going to cause a lot of unemployment and a lot of havoc if they don't get this done.
Not a lot of basis for it either. Just a little, like you say, I think it's just
ego. It's ego.
Yeah. So, we'll see. Maybe they'll come to their senses.
Well, you know, Barack Obama has swept in and tried to help a lot of industry. Maybe he gets involved in the NFL talks.
I don't know about that, Steve. First of all, I don't know what he can do. I mean, there's nobody on either side that's going to pay attention to anybody. It doesn't matter who it is. So they're going to figure it out.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. All right, the Sarah Palin emails apparently may be backfiring on the media. It was a feeding frenzy when Freedom of Information allowed the media. I mean, they were recruiting people, Mike, to read thousands and thousands. Gotcha. They don't find anything.
Well, Sarah Palin is a great person. And whether you like her or not, they had nothing to do with it. Whether she's a Republican, Democrat, Independent, she's a good person. She's a good mother. She's a good wife. And she's a good American. And, you know, if people don't like that, I mean, maybe that's what we can't stand. We can't stand somebody that lives up to the ideals we all wish we could. And she does. So, I'm not sure I really understand this, but if you want to take a shot at somebody, I mean, I would think that you'd find somebody that was a little less bulletproof than her take a shot at.
Well, then someone that doesn't deserve that kind of attack, I say give someone credit who's had the accomplishments that Sarah Palin has, but she's always had to fight against negative press, and that's one I'll never figure out. What is it about her that just incites?
I don't know. Something must scare these liberal women, because she's a nice-looking conservative woman. I don't understand it. Maybe all the liberal women don't look so good.
The trove of more than 13,000 emails detailing almost every aspect of Sarah Palin's governorship of Alaska, released late on Friday, Freedom Frenzy all weekend. It paints a picture of her as an idealistic, conscientious, humorous, and humane woman, slightly bemused by the world of politics.
Well,
wow.
That's good.
Yeah. Well,
aren't you bemused by it?
Yeah.
We are. Actually, we're not even, we're beyond that. We're beyond that stage. I mean, it's beyond laughable right now.
Yeah. Bemused, I'm not 100% sure what that means, but it's probably just... Maybe that doesn't quite get it, but bemused at least.
Yeah. All right, I got to mention Anthony Weiner. He's still in the news all over the place. Apparently new photos released. All these Democrats, except Charles Rangel, who said at least he wasn't messing around with small boys. Can you believe he would even say something like that?
Wow.
Unbelievable. Weiner.
Charlie Rangel's got the brain of a flea.
A flea.
He knows. You talk about the worst example for anybody being in a representative position of this country, people like Charlie Rangel, believe me.
Well, and he's had his problems, too.
Yeah, he sure has. And so the guy won't resign. It doesn't look good for America.
Well, I think the pressure's done. the newest article came out, I think, yesterday, last night or this morning, New York Post. They're pretty sure he's going to step down now.
He's in treatment now. That's his getaway. He's leaving. He wants a leave of absence, but it's under the auspices of, I'm going to get help.
Well, get help to not get caught the next time. I don't trust the guy any farther than I can throw him. And something's wrong with him, but he needs to quit that job, because you need to have some respect. Politics is about people liking you. And then it's about trying to help our community and our nation. He can do neither right now. So...
Well, he's no help to either party now. Right. He's not help to his own party.
He can't do the job.
So, do something else. I mean, it's not going to work.
But it's that much of a feeling of, I can't give this up because it's all I am, I think.
I don't know.
Well, I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with that. And, I said yesterday, it said, well, his constituents are backing him. Well, the dipheads, sure, they elected him. I mean, anybody's a dippy and elected a guy like that. I mean, my God, it becomes very humorous to me, that's all, after a while. And I know this is not a funny thing, so I'm not laughing at that way, but I just think, where the heck did common sense go in the world? I just don't really understand it.
Well, the fact that he's not out now and that we're talking about it is somewhat controversial just gives you an idea of the state of the union, because we've got some things we need to work on, and here we are. And this is typical. This is actually kind of the era we're in right now, but we'll work through it, Stevie.
Yeah, Mitt Romney leads, by the way, in the latest Politico poll. Mitt Romney leads on the GOP side. No surprise there. I think he's certainly a guy that's going to have the best chance probably to get their nomination, I would think.
Yeah, I don't know how he'll do in the main election. I don't know. I just don't know.
If that's the GOP's answer, they lose.
I think you're right, Mike.
I am right. It's simple. I mean, somebody's got to come out of the pack.
Who can light us up, Mike? Who would you say?
I don't know. We even had this thing today. I see where O'Reilly took a shot at Plenty and Plenty. I listened to his retort, and it was pretty darn interesting. You know, he said, listen, I'm not running for the popular job and the jokester and this and that. He said, I am who I am. He said, I'm serious because this is serious business. Mm-hmm. And I don't know Tim Pawlenty. I don't know him. But I'm just saying that if this is what it comes down to, when you have 8 or 10 possible Republican candidates, then you have none. You have none.
It's
because
all
if
split.
You look at it, they're all cutting the vote up. I mean, you say Romney's in the lead right now. I don't think he can win.
He might not be able to.
Of course, there's a long way to go, and someone might just take off. And
agree. That's what I think is going to happen.
Yeah.
And it may be someone not in the field yet. Who knows?
Well, and then there was a comment about how, Michigan's at 10% unemployment. And somebody said, well, it used to be 13. His policies are working, and it's going great in Michigan. It's going, I don't think the people in Michigan think it's going great. I think that it's going to come down to the jobs. It's going to come gas price. I mean, some of these things.
Yeah, and I think.
I don't know. I really don't know that people say that. I think it showed the unemployment lines and showed the people in them. And these people are very happy to be unemployed, believe me. They're happy to pick up their check and they're, that's what it looked like to me. And we got a major problem with that. I say that only in what they showed on TV.
Right.
I'm sure there are a lot of people who would
trying to get a job. Right. All right, we're going to take a quick 60-second break and be right back with Mike Ditka and Brother Johnny here on our Mondays and Fridays 7:30 to 8 segments here on the new 93.5, 95.3 Connect FM. A market was down a bunch last week. We hope it spins back and comes up this week. Here's your Wall Street Report at 7:50. Back with our final segment, Mike Ditka and Brother Johnny here on 93.5, 95.3 the new Connect FM. Johnny made a humongous lift on Fridays. We touched about it. He was doing this while he was talking on Friday. This was it was more than you thought, correct?
Yeah, I weighed 3,200 tons. That's about 6.5 million pounds. And big sideways production platform that had been knocked over way back in Hurricane Ivan.
Yeah. And meanwhile, Mike, there have been more discoveries as far as big oil caches in the Gulf if we can go get it.
We can. And they're coming around. It's just I've been very critical of the added bureaucracy since the BP disaster and the way it's kind of blanketed everyone in the industry as opposed to more focus on what was going on with BP. And slowed a lot of things down. And when you want to turn on the lights, you got to have the energy now. And it all backs up. So we can do more than we've been doing, and we can't really afford to stop. And we did for a while there in deep water United States oil exploration. Boy, that sets you back. It's not day for day. You stop for 6 months, it costs you a couple years.
You actually think
that people in America know how to turn on lights without the government showing them?
Yeah, we can, and we can figure that out, and I think we've got to agree that we do need a little guidance, but not we don't need a government, and that's the whole debate. We don't need a government that micromanages our lives. You can't be free. If you want someone to take care of you, you might get someone who's going to take care of you. So that's not what we want. We want to be free and think for ourselves.
Well,
I hope.
And Mike, you said right before the break about, you know, people happy to receive their checks and thus, you know, I think there's been a gradual, you know, erosion of that can-do attitude, the, you know, let me alone, let me figure it out for myself, let me work, let me get it done because I've got pride in my work. It feels like that has been slipping in America for quite a few generations. Maybe the last one, the most noticeable. How do we get it back? How do we get that ethic, that work pride back?
I don't know. I really don't. I mean, you're talking about pride in America, the American dream. But what is the American dream right now? I mean, for some people, it's one thing. For some people, it's to raise a family, work hard, you know, put them through college. For other people, it's to be dependent. And I say that in all honesty, it is, because they have no desire do anything but be dependent. So we have a government that it makes them dependent. And you know, I read the thing that Lincoln said, and if you're going to do this, you cannot do for people what they could and should do for themselves. And if you do this, you're going to take away every bit of their pride and everything else. And when you don't have that, you don't have anything. If you don't have pride in what you're doing or who you are, you're willing to accept anything, and that's what I really believe. And I see it more and more. I'm not knocking anybody. I'm just telling you what it is. You can argue with it, or you can do anything you want to do with it, but you look at it over a big picture. We have all these programs of entitlements that go out to people that are incredible. And what we do through these programs, we don't encourage these people to better their lives.
Well, and
we encourage them to become dependent.
And the intent is to give somebody an opportunity to get to where they want to be and make a contribution that they want to make. And it doesn't work that way all the time. And then we get lost in the weeds. And to write that down and try to implement it really doesn't work. And that's the problem with big government. It just doesn't work. That's my problem with health care. It's great if everybody has health care. Will the government be able to furnish good health care to every American? No, of course they can't. They can't do it. We already know that, and we can't pay for it even if they could do it. So that's the thing. We have to be accountable, Mike. That's the thing. We have to teach each other to be accountable and be responsible for what we've got, which is autonomy and freedom. That doesn't come cheap. Whether you're fighting for it overseas or whether you're living a day-to-day, you've got to hold up your end.
You're exactly right. But what's happened is these people have made other people responsible for them. And that's basically what it is. I mean, they haven't taken on the individual responsibility because they know if they don't, somebody will.
And that's a problem. You're right.
Exactly. That's what's happened.
That's not going to work. Because when someone says, I can take care of you, A, B, C, they may mean they'll try and they may want to do it. They just can't do it. You've got to take care of yourself. There's a point at which it's just not going
to
happen.
Well, and there's also in everything, there's a tipping point. And are we close to the tipping point of a point of no return in America where we can't get it back?
Well, it depends on whether we realize we're close to the tipping point. We talk a good game, but I tell you something. What I don't like right now, Mike, is we've had this big economic meltdown, you know, shut down the government, cut spending. I haven't seen any real change in anything.
Both sides.
Nothing. I have seen absolutely.
You're exactly right about that. Now, this is all coming out. Now, unemployment's back up again, and it's coming out while the Democrats, the economy is much better now. It's changing under Obama. It's not changing. But, I mean, you got to be honest about it. Hey, maybe he's probably not the problem, but it's not changing.
Right.
You know, there's got to be policies put in place to change it, and so far they aren't there. And the worst thing I hear, and I don't know a lot about, but to go back and say, oh, the Bush tax cuts are the cause of everything. Stop it.
Yeah, that's not the problem. But I think the problem is what you just said. It's facing the truth. Is that right? We can't handle the truth?
Yeah. You can't handle the truth.
Right. You can't take the truth.
I think we can handle the truth, and it's time to face up to it. But if we don't do it, then you can't fix it. If you don't know what the problem is, you cannot fix it.
Well, and we've been trained to, you know, one side's good, one side's bad all the time. I mean, it's there's no consensus. There's no bipartisanship at all. It's somebody's bad and somebody's good. And the wide margin of the two philosophies, but how do you start?
Well,
how do you get it?
It's hard to say, but Mike, we've talked about how one side will have an issue, and then if they'll forget about it for a while, and the other side will pick up the same issue, and they'll argue it the other way.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
We went through a whole election here, and one of the mottos or slogans was country first, and that's what it's got to come down to, guys. You can't be party first. You cannot do party first.
Or me first.
Yeah, what's best for America? I mean, and you're right, and it's also me. What's best for me? And it just can't work. Politicians aren't elected for that. That's not the reason they're elected now. Maybe that's the way they act once they are elected, but they're elected to represent the interests of the people in this country for what's best for the country. And for their constituents. But you got to put the country first.
Well, and it's funny, Steve, because Steve was playing just earlier this morning when I was coming in. I was listening to LeBron James talking about, well, I did better this and I was that. And I won two more games than I did. And next year, it's all about LeBron. It's like, guess what? That'll get you second place. And so,
don't forget one thing about LeBron. How old is he?
Shoot, I don't
know. 24? He's 25?
Yeah. He's not
very
young.
He's very young. I mean, he's been doing this stuff since he came out of high school in the NBA or something. So, I mean, he's really, but I think when you get to the stature he is in life, you got to understand now, you got to start representing your sport and yourself the way guys like Jordan did and Larry Bird and guys like, I'm just saying, Magic, I mean, there's a lot of guys who represented the sport so magnificently. You've got to understand that now, that people don't want to hear the other stuff, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care if you're from Cleveland or where, you know, they don't want to hear it.
I think best advice of the morning, after a game, tape your mouth shut for four.